From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. May the 4th be with you. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel and Greg Johnson. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast, that with Mark Russo, and Todd Hubbs will be here to talk about the export of soybeans. Probably not a pretty discussion after the weekend that we had and the president's Twitter account. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss some of what happened. So, Kurt, let's start with some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. May corn was down 3/4 at 310 3/4. The July 3 lower at 315.5. December there, 2 3/4 lower at 334. The wheat futures finished the July at 519.5, up 3. And soybeans were down 13.25 in the lead May at 834. July 836.5 down 13. And new crop November down 9.25 at 845 3/4. The president raising concerns about the Chinese as it's related to the coronavirus, and suggesting that more tariffs might have to be put in place to, quote, punish them, I suppose, unquote, although I don't think he used that word. I shouldn't put that in quotes. But it did really have a number, do a number on the soybeans in Chicago. What do we know?
Yeah, nothing concrete, solid for the most part. I think it's maybe hopefully a trial balloon going up, because as far as the bean demand goes to China, we're starting to enter the time window when that starts to surface. They typically come in this time of the year through July and start to book some new crop beans for fall and winter shipments. So we'll kind of have to keep a close eye and monitor that, because, you know, when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, exports is a huge, huge part of it, and the Chinese business is a huge part of the export number itself. Also, too, part of the supply-demand balance sheet has the crush. And for the monthly crush here, we finished out, you know, 192 million bushels being crushed versus 175 the previous month and 179 million bushels the previous year. So we are using beans, and that crush number is pretty important. And the meal stocks are relatively low, so the seed usage number is solid underneath the market, but this Chinese bean buying business is huge, and we need to make sure they follow through on that commitment. Now, I'm not quite for sure on the time window on that. They can always come back and say, you know, we're still in the time window to do some things in here. But emotions are running high. This virus is a concern. A lot of people, countries, businesses have taken a fairly good hit on that. So we need to see the follow through on this export demand. And I'm sure Asia wants to feed their people so they're healthy to fight off the viruses. And two, we want to, you know, help do that and make sure everybody's healthy and gets through this over the near term.
What do we think the weekly crop progress report will show today?
Well, looking for corn to be around 48% complete as a nation. Beans, 21% complete as a nation, getting the crop in the ground. Y'all talked about last week's progress, huge progress. And I have to echo the comment here. I don't know if it was on any of your programs, but it's amazing what we can get done when we keep everybody out of the coffee shop and the bar, Todd.
I don't know that we use that one, but the essential workers are in the field and they were moving quickly. All right. So livestock. Tyson had something to say this just today about idling plants still, despite the Defense Production Act that has been put in place. And on that, not on that news, but on some other news, the livestock managed to rally. June cattle were up 82.5 cents. The feeders in the May were up $1.25, and lean hogs were up $4.85. What happened there?
Well, I think the market's starting to feel we can add a little bit of value to the price in through here. When you look at cutout values, they're just on fire. They're trying to move some product and buying up, bidding up for it, and moving it and getting it to the retail shelf in general. If you've been a follower of your program here, these pork loins, for example, when we talked, when pork loins got down to a dollar or below a dollar, they were a buy. And they were, if you bought one, put in the freezer, because those loins are up over $1.60, $1.70 a pound. So there's some wave two buying, putting meat in the freezer here, concerned about getting the available supplies of meat. When you look at the big picture in through here, these plants need to take a little idle time, give some workers time to recover. The plants and the meat does not cause the virus. You know, it's the exposure and spreading it, you know, in close connections, close quarters. And so hopefully, you know, they can put up some protective gear and get back and get this meat flowing in a good fashion. Very serious. You take the backup here. It's home here locally. There's a processor, a small meat locker. Last week, a guy had a steer scheduled to take in, and he could not get that steer taken in until July 23rd. Well, this guy's kind of a smooth talker and thought, well, maybe I'll call. Maybe I can get a little earlier appointment or something like that. So he called about 2 days later. And all of a sudden, there late last week, they told him, well, we're backed up clear into September. Well, I had another guy visit the same locker this morning. Now they're backed up clear to December. So it seems like whenever a pig farrows or a calf's born, you need to book that at the local locker plant now so you can get it in there. So that's an extreme case. That's the backup we're dealing with. There's plenty of meat out there to move. It's just now getting it through the supply chain.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next Monday.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's that time of year. I know you're busy, you're in the field, and probably a bit stressed, but if you have the chance, please do make a pledge of financial support for agriculture from Illinois Public Media. You can do that at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, or online at willpledge.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Todd, thanks for being with us. What'd you write for the Farm Doc Daily website this week?
I was talking about the prospects of tariff revival from the Trump administration and what that might do to soybean exports as we move through 2020 and into the next marketing year. You know, there's a lot of blowback building, not just here, but around the world, about China's behavior at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it looks like retaliation may be in place. And the president floated the idea of tariffs, and that's sort of problematic for us in soybean exports because a lot of the promise associated with soybean prices as we moved into the next marketing year was revolving around expanded exports of soybeans to China. And so it put this in a tough situation because if we see this phase one trade deal fall apart under retaliation, I doubt very seriously if we're going to be able to take as many soybean acres out of production as we did last year. We're definitely going to see more soybean acres this year. In the past, is any indication of what kind of export pattern we might see? There's a lot of talk about over 2 billion bushels of exports next marketing year. And that probably won't happen if China's not a big buyer. Compounding this, after the phase one trade deal, China wasn't buying at the pace a lot of people expected, and they were disappointed. And we started to see them pick up in the last couple of weeks. We've seen around 32 million bushels of soybean sales. And you know, due to the coronavirus problem and their purchases from Brazil, we haven't seen them buying as many soybeans this marketing year as a lot of people thought when the trade deal went through. They're starting to pick up, and there's a promise that this might be a really good time. You know, we would see them accelerate buying as we got deep in 2020, the next marketing year. That's all dependent on that phase one trade deal still being in place. As of now, even though the USDA lowered soybean exports this marketing year to 1.775 billion bushels in April, we're still behind pace to hit that number. And part of that is we're not seeing the kind of buying so far this year that we saw from China. And I think a lot of the promise for exports is tied into that whole deal. So if there is retaliation and if this phase one trade deal gets scuttled, and you're going to see some higher ending stocks, not just this marketing, but next. And I think that's what soybean prices have been inflecting over the last couple of trading sessions.
So the other piece of this issue, and you've referenced it, is competition from Brazil. And it comes not only from the number of soybeans that they grow and export, but also from their currency and its value against the dollar. Is that right?
No, that's right. And Brazil is putting out what looks like a record-level crop this year, about 4.55 billion bushels. And that's with USDA lowering the number in April by 55 million bushels. Since the turn of the year, we've seen the real weaken about 37% against the dollar. And with their domestic political problems going on, I think they're going to see sustained currency weakness. And that's been a boon for soybean exports and exports in general out of Brazil. In March, they did around 425 million bushels of soybean exports. And it looks like in April, they're going to up that number substantially. We could see it coming in near 530 million bushels. So, you know, any kind of setback in trade relations between the U.S. and China, you see just bushels added on that Brazil exports to China, you know, on top of these already impressive totals they're putting out there. So we've got a huge crop in Brazil. We've got a weak currency. They've got plenty of beans. And, you know, us getting back into a trade war with them, you know, puts them in a place to have yet another successful year selling soybeans. So the competition's out there. And you could see later in the year China have to come back, but under the last time we had a trade war, they were able to not buy as many U.S. beans as a lot of people expected. Now, I know a lot of this was related to the African swine fever. And while there have been some reports of cases, and it doesn't look like they have it completely under control, you expect soybean demand in China to be relatively strong over the next year. And the question is, how much of that will we get? Under the phase one trade deal, I thought we were going to get quite a bit. If we see this thing devolve, and, you know, listeners may agree with the idea that China should be retaliated against their behavior, but we have to understand that's probably going to set back our exports substantially.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. Well, on this Monday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here with Risk Pulse. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us. You're still at home. Me too. How are you doing?
Doing well, Todd. Again, thanks for having me.
It's a bit cool today. I take it that as we get further into the week, more cold air spreads into our part of the world?
Yeah, this pattern across the Corn Belt, you know, it's been variable of late. You go back a couple of weeks ago, it was unseasonably cool. Then we have had our kind of brief stretches of warmth over the past week or so, but now going back into a cooler than normal pattern, especially the next 10 days. And it's looking like coming up later on this week that temperatures will be getting to levels of like 12 and 13 and 14 degrees cooler than average for this time of year. And what that means is that specifically here, not only in Illinois, but much of the eastern Corn Belt, minimum temperatures dropping into the 30s with even some upper 20s, some freezing temperatures in portions of the eastern Corn Belt coming up on Friday night and on into Saturday night, which look to be the coldest days or coldest time frames within this colder than normal pattern.
I assume we have clear skies in that case. Any wind to go along with it?
Very light winds, and that's actually one of the reasons why temperatures are going to be dropping down to some of these forecast levels here, is that we've got ideal radiational cooling conditions. So we have this kind of bubble of high pressure coming from Canada, and with that high pressure system, then skies clear out, winds turn calm or very, very light, and that allows temperatures to drop off at night. And it's really that kind of Friday night or Saturday morning, and then Saturday night, Sunday morning will be those ideal radiational cooling time frames.
I know it's hard to predict where and how deep that cold will go into the eastern Corn Belt. What are you seeing at this point?
Well, it's looking like certainly much of Michigan, with the exception of the with the exception of areas closest to the Great Lakes. But even down into like northern Indiana, northern Ohio, temperatures kind of in and around freezing or a few pockets there in the upper 20s. So, and then even, you know, in areas more of like the Appalachians, there will be even higher elevations, we'll see even colder temperatures. But specifically in the eastern Corn Belt, it's going to be encompassing here, at least for those temperatures right around freezing.
So some of the soft red winter wheat crop would be at risk.
It does look like there is some potential for issues, especially the Michigan crop here. You know, not as much down to the Ohio River Valley where it's going to be a bit more marginal, but you know, more kind of upper 20s in areas of Michigan and even you know northwest Ohio. We do need to keep an eye on, again, if temperatures shift even colder, then again, more of the eastern Midwest then would see temperatures below 32 or you know, larger area of upper 20s reading. So it's going to be really important to monitor here how temperatures trend from now through the coldest mornings coming up this weekend.
Well, in the northern hemisphere, let's stay with wheat. Soft red winter wheat in trouble from potential cold temperatures. They've been wet. The hard red winter wheat crop is suffering the opposite conditions, hot and dry?
Yeah, especially in areas of western Kansas and then western Oklahoma and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. And coming up, it looks like in general, those kind of driest areas will stay on the dry side. And also we'll see some pretty hot temperatures coming up, not as much the next several days, but as we look out ahead into later next week and beyond, that looks to be at least the time frame of another kind of bubble of heat moving into the southern plains from the desert southwest. That combined with drier than normal conditions here, you know, raises concern for decrease in yield potential there.
Checking on the Black Sea, I'd like to know whether that winter wheat crop is still under the bullseye for dry conditions.
Well, across the Black Sea region, it does look like the pattern's improving. In fact, some of the improvements started this upcoming weekend with this upper-level low that moved into the Black Sea region from Western Europe. And over the next couple of weeks, there will be several opportunities for rain development across Russia, across Ukraine, as well as the western part of the Black Sea region, like Romania, Hungary, and Bulgaria. So we do see a net improving situation. And obviously very timely for wheat development, but also timely for summer crop planting there as well, especially corn.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. He's one of more than a dozen analysts that join us here on the Closing Market Report each and every week. And right now, I'd like you to help us out as well by volunteering not your time, but your finances. And I know it's a difficult time on the farm, but please, if you can, and we work really hard to try to make sure that you have good underpinnings. If that helps out and you can, why don't you help us out a little bit by making a donation to Illinois Public Media in support of agriculture. Now, you can call 217-244-9455. I'll repeat that. That's 217-BIG-WILL, 217-244-9455. Or go online to willpledge.org, willpledge.org, and make your donation today. Either way, you'll put it in the comments section or tell the person you're talking to you're calling in support of agriculture. That's really important. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being in the field. Thank you for being an essential part of the American economy. It makes a difference to all of us. I hope we make a difference to you. If we do, and I know it's difficult, but please do take a moment right now and make that pledge at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, or by going online at willpledge.org. Greg Johnson from the Andersons now joins us. Hey, thanks for being with us, Greg. Tough day in the soybean market. What happened?
President Trump, we didn't take his phone away from him over the weekend, unfortunately. He's he is hinting that China, the virus started in the Chinese lab in Hunan, and if that's the case, he says that they should pay for it, and he's talking about putting tariffs on. He said that's the best way to extract value from China if, in fact, they are the ones that caused it. So that kind of talk really pressured the market, both corn and beans today. The corn came back a little bit, but beans never did. And, you know, as a result, China had bought a few 5-6 vessels last week, and we were hoping that this would continue. But after the weekend's scuffle between President Trump and China, it sounds like that might be a little while longer before we get back to China buying beans from us again.
Is there follow-through yet for tomorrow or tonight, do you think?
Well, tonight, the follow-through will be probably turn the focus to planting progress. And it's hard for me to believe, well, I guess it's not hard for me to believe, you just have to look at a rainfall map for the last week or 10 days, and the rains came through Illinois. So I don't expect very much planting progress to have been made in Illinois when the numbers come out later this afternoon. But everywhere else, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, the Dakotas, even Indiana, to some extent, they didn't get the rains that we got. So I think you're going to see some pretty impressive planting progress totals when the numbers come out tonight. And that might pressure the market, especially combined with the kind of the negative atmosphere that we've got with the Chinese situation.
I do want to talk about those basis contracts that producers have been desperately hanging on to in hopes that something will happen. Did they roll the May to the July?
Most of them did. We had a few people that just had enough, and they sold out. But I would say that's a small percentage, you know, maybe 10% sold out. The majority of the people rolled from the May to the July, or rolled from the May to the September, thinking that it's going to take longer than maybe July before this market comes back. So very few people priced, but, you know, every day it seems to go lower. So the guys that did price are feeling okay about that today. I mean, it's, you know, not that it can't come back later, but for the time being, there's just not a lot of good news in the corn market until we really get people back to work and driving and using gasoline and using ethanol again.
What's basis look like this week?
Basis levels are starting to firm out west. I guess farmers are not happy with these prices, so they're not selling. So at least we're starting to see basis levels stabilize. I wouldn't say they're getting a lot better, maybe a couple of cents better. Out west, we hope that translates here into basis levels improving in the east. We haven't seen that yet, but these lower prices definitely are slowing down movement, and basis is all about movement. So basis levels have stabilized at this point, and hopefully they'll get a little bit better.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget, if you can, please do make a pledge of support to WILL and the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.